Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
I had fun last week, did you? We talked about honor, or I talked about honor, but we all gave Holy Spirit the opportunity. We asked him, we said, Lord, teach us about honor. We give you the opportunity to speak to us this week, right? So who did anybody get opportunities to practice what he showed you personally? Oh, come on. No one. Raise your hand. Someone. Okay, so a couple people had an opportunity to use what they learned last week. Well, I'm going to give you a little more today. And how many think they know about honor? You think you know some things about honor, right? We all know some things about honor. At least some of our parents taught us things about honor, right? And we've heard in church about honor. But God wants to show us more things about honor. And when he shows us things in the Word, you know you don't have to do it. Did you know that? Yeah. Like, he shows us stuff all the time. He shows people things all the time, and they're just like, eh, thanks. No thanks. They leave it off on the side. Well, let me just tell you, that's one of the ways not to show God honor. That's one of the ways not to show him honor. It really is honoring to God to take what he shows us and do it, or let it change us. There's a scripture in 2 Timothy 3:1, and I know you've all heard it before. But this is in God's Word translation, and it says this. It's talking about it, and I look around and I see our generation, like, overall, this is kind of the things that we see across the board in our generation. They'll brag and be arrogant and use abusive language. They'll curse their parents and show no gratitude. They'll have no respect for what's holy. They'll lack normal affection for their families, and they'll refuse to make peace with anyone. They'll be slanderous, lack self-control, be brutal, and have no love for what's good. They'll be traitors, they'll be reckless and conceited. They'll love pleasure rather than God. And this is the part I want us to highlight on. They'll appear to have a godly life, but they'll not let his power change them. Stay away from such people. Let me just tell you, I don't want to be in that category. I want the power of God to change me. And every time he shows me something, and I'm not saying I have always done this. There's been, I'm sure, plenty of things he's shown me that I was like, oh, that's really good. And then I walk away and I don't look at it anymore. And in order for us to honor God, we want to pay attention to what he's showing us, right? So if we want to move forward, you don't want your growth to be stunted, then we're going to have to make some changes. And it's in this series, it's about how we act, how we interact with people, with God, with our leaders, with all of it across the board. So in order for us to go back, I'm just going to give you a little refresher, because some of us weren't here last week. And so we spent a little time in 1 Samuel 2. And one of the parts that we really highlighted on was in 2 verse 30. And it says, those who honor me, this is God speaking, those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. So we looked at the definitions of honor, and we looked at the definitions of despise. What is honor? Honor is to value, to esteem, to prize, to treat as weighty. I liked that one. To be in awe of and to revere. Those were all very good definitions of honor. So what's despise then? Because in our, you know, society, a lot of times, oh, I despise that. It's kind of akin to hate. And that's not really what God's saying in this scripture. He's more saying to mishandle, or to mishandle the things of God. and to treat lightly or to make little of, to fail to esteem or act like, it's no big deal. It's a big deal. God's got big deals in his stuff's big deal, right? Sometimes when people hear honor, they think, you will respect me. This is my whatever, my place of business. This is my house. This is my whatever. You will respect me. I won't be disrespected. I've heard that just a lot. or they may not think in terms of that. They might think in terms of, well, they didn't earn my respect. I've heard that one even more. Well, I don't have to respect them. They didn't earn my respect. Well, let's see what God's word says about that. Romans 13, verse 7 and 8. Let's go over there. Romans 13, 7 and 8. And I'm actually going to read it. You can read it in your translation. But we talked about this last week, too, is reading it in another translation sometimes just helps us get a new perspective or a new thought. It kind of says it a little bit different, so we're able to have a new thought about it. And God likes that. He doesn't want us to just get stuck in a rut. I don't know about you, but I've read healing scriptures before, and I'm like, yeah, I've heard it. And I don't mean to be like that, but my brain is saying, yep, I've got that one. But if you read it in another translation, you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that said that. So this one is from God's Word Translation again. It says, pay everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay them. If you owe tolls, pay them. If you owe someone respect, respect that person. If you owe someone honor, honor that person. Pay your debts as they come due. And I thought, wow, you know, a lot of people have used that scripture just for money. But really, it's talking about respect and honor. If you owe someone respect and you owe them honor, it's your duty to pay that to that person. So we also talked about the fact that just because you honor or respect someone does not mean that you agree with everything that they say or do or stand for. That's okay. You can honor and respect people that are different and that have different thoughts. And that maybe stand completely opposed to you in some areas. We can still honor and love each other in that situation. Because if you dishonor someone, then really, let me just read it the way I wrote it. It says, you've got to respect their place or position. Otherwise, you disrespect the God who created that position and set them in that place. So, I'll just let that rest there for a minute. How has God honored us? He's honored us. I'll speak for the church. We started as a little Bible study in an itty-bitty, teeny little weeny house. And then God moved us into a bigger house with a bigger room that we were able to leave all of our equipment set up in. And he blessed us there. And we were faithful to treat his things with respect. And this is a building that we get to meet in. It's not our building, but we come in every week. We treat it like it's ours. We respect what's here. We get to use the equipment that is here. It's not even our equipment, and they have allowed us to use this. God has honored us. He just keeps moving us up and up and up. And when we honor it and respect it, then he just honors us and respects us with more. And that's where we want to head. As individuals, we talked about God illuminating truth to you. He honors us first and foremost with his presence. I think about this morning. He's so awesome. There's healing even now still taking place as a residual of what we did this morning. And the worship. God was here. God is here. And he honors us with his presence. And as we learn to honor and respect him more, he will show up even more tangibly to us. We have so much to honor him for. We were bought with the life and blood of Jesus. That's pretty heavy. Like, he didn't just pay anything for us. And I know, I loved what Pastor Dan said a while ago. It isn't, I mean, everybody's, you know, always said, oh my gosh, look what Jesus went through. And yes, of course, that was horrific. And what an awesome thing he did. But he turns around and says to us, I paid such a hefty price because of you. Of your worth. You're worth that. To me, you're worth my entire life. So if nothing else, that is why we should honor and respect the Lord. Amen. So as we go on today, and God only knows how much we'll get through, but I want you to keep a few things in mind. I want us to think about, how does this apply in my life? In the area of leaders, in the area of each other and of God. How does it apply? And in Matthew 25:40, it says this. Jesus said, if you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. This is why I put it in that order, because God says, if you do it to each other, you've done it unto me. If you can practice what you're seeing in the Word with people that you can see, then you can do that. Then you are doing that with me. Acts 9 is talking about the story of Saul before he was Paul. And it was when he got knocked on his keister on his road to Damascus. And Jesus appeared to him. And he said, hey, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul was like, what? Who are you? I don't even know who you are. And he was like, you're persecuting me. Now, in the natural, we all looked at Saul, we all. But when you look in the Word, I'm sure they all looked at it the same way. He was persecuting Christians. He was coming after them, killing them, putting them in prison. And Jesus took that as a personal affront and said, you're doing that to me. That's a big deal. So that's why I put it in that order, is leaders and each other, just people in general, and God. 1 John 4:20, at the end, it says, you cannot love the brother you have seen. If you can't love the brother you have seen, you cannot love the God you have not seen. So God's saying, if you are this way with people, then you are that way with me. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, people just get on my last nerve. That might be an old phraseology, but, you know, close enough, right? You know my point? And, but God, you know, he and I, we're simpatico. We're good. So, but he says that's impossible. You cannot say you're okay with God and treating God with respect and honor if you aren't treating people with respect and honor. It doesn't work that way. It's impossible. So don't deceive yourself. Let's honor people, and we'll, in turn, we'll honor God. Growing in honor qualifies you for handling greater things in God. If you disrespect what's in front of you, he's not going to give you more, because you know what that means? If he gave you more and you were disrespectful with what you had, he would not be a good steward over his things, right? So, I mean, if you give your child, you know, a privilege and they go sideways with it, you're not going to give them more. Here, let me give you a car to boot. No. You know, you didn't earn anything with me by doing what you did. I'm not going to give you more. And that's the same thing with God. He's not going to give us more. He's not mad at us. If we choose to get, you know, illuminations from God and we're like, thanks God, that was great, but it's not going to change me. He's not angry with you, but he is going, man, I wish they would get on the path so I could give them what's down here on their path. But they haven't even started back here on their path. I'm probably getting way ahead of myself. But today we're going to talk about, if we get to them, the 5 I's of disrespect. These are not the only ways that we can disrespect, but there are a few of the ways that we can show disrespect. And much of honor is in what we don't say and what we don't do, right? And by stopping the disrespect, we will in turn be respecting or showing honor. And so that's why I kind of want to look at this today. All throughout the Word, and you can see examples of this all throughout the Word, God uses compare and contrast. He says, this is how I am. This is how the enemy is. So it's important for us to look at how to show disrespect so that we can avoid that, right? And just in Proverbs alone, he says plenty of things in there. I just pulled out just a few. Better a dry crust of bread with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. Right? So he's giving you a contrast. This is what you want. This is what you don't want. Blessings crown the head of the righteous, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. Wow. How about what the wicked dreads will overtake him, but what the righteous desire will be granted. That's a good scripture to hold on to. God is so good to us. That was Proverbs 10:24, if you want to know. So the first one we're going to look at is ignoring. And we're going to turn over to Genesis. We're going to look at origin of disrespect. Genesis 3. It's right there in the beginning, easy to find. Verses 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He came to the woman and he said, "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree of the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "Well, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden." "Yeah, but God, did God say you must not eat the fruit?" Oh, hold on a second. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you'll die." "Oh, you won't surely die," he says. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Can you just hear like the tone of disrespect to what God had already said to them? Did God really say that? Questioning, making light of something that God intended to be very, it was very important for them to know and understand. And Adam and Eve, in that instance, we know the story, they ignored what God said, completely ignored it. And they were like, "Huh, well," they treated it as light, esteemed it lightly. Back to Samuel 2, Eli, we talked about him, you know, and how horrible his sons were. They were taking sacrifices from people before they'd been burnt up. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, but the fat was supposed to be burnt as an offering to the Lord, and then they were left with eating the meat. So God got the most fragrant parts of their offering. And so his kids would go and say, "We want that now." And if the people asked to go ahead and give their offering the way they were supposed to God, they would say no. They would threaten them. They would threaten the people, and they said, "I'll take it by force." They were also sleeping with the women who were working at the temple there. They were doing horrible things, and I guarantee you Eli knew about it. I guarantee you he saw signs of it when they were itty-bitty. He let little bitty things slide, little pieces of disrespect, little glances to the side, little like, "I said, come here," and they're just playing. No, "I said, come here." So then you just, "I'm too tired to get up and go get them." Those are just little things that you let go. And in our own life, you may not have children. That's okay. Even in your own life, "I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock comes around, snooze. I'll get up in a little while. Is that a major deal? No. But if God's dealing with you about it, it's a major deal. Or if he says, "You know, why don't you just get up when you say you're going to get up? Like, set your time when you want to get up. If you want to get up at 6:10, then get up at 6:10. Don't hit snooze, you know?" Like, so I'm just taking a little thing to make us think about. It's those little things in our lives. In Song of Solomon 2:15, there's a scripture that says, it's the little foxes that ruin the vine. It's those little things that we let slide in our life that undermine us, and they hold us back from what God really wants for us. We don't want to ignore what God's showing us. So I wanted to move on to the end of chapter 2 in Samuel, and I wanted to read these verses, 27 to 30. God is telling him through a prophet this. He says, "Now a man of God came to Eli and said to him, 'This is what the Lord says. Did I not clearly reveal myself to your father's house when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? I chose your father out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, and to wear the ephod in my presence. I also gave your father's house all offerings made with fire by Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribe for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves," he's included in that, "on the choice parts of every offering made by my people of Israel? Therefore," the Lord says, "I declare, I promise that your house and your father's house would minister. I had declared that you would minister in my house and before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be lightly esteemed." I want you to think about that. What has God told you about your life? He ignored the weightiness of what God, the honor that God had bestowed upon his whole family line. He could have been read about all throughout the Word of being the priest, the one who ministered to God. But he didn't. He completely threw it away. He thwarted it because he did not esteem God's Word weighty. And we all know that story. The sons went out to battle. Eli's sitting up on the wall, and he was very large. And the boys both got killed in battle. Some servant came running in to tell Eli what had happened, and he was so in despair, he flew over backwards in his chair, and he died. So his line was done, kaput. And God, he thwarted that because he didn't esteem it highly. If God shows you something, treat it as weighty. If he's given you a promise, treat it as he means what he says, because he does. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 and 21, you don't have to turn there. It says, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Another way to say contempt is, meh, no big deal. You don't really pay too much attention to it. It's not like you throw it away, but you're just like, yeah, that was great. Nice to hear it. Test everything and hold on to what is good. So you need to pull those things out. Hopefully when God has spoken to you, whether it was something he spoke to your heart or something he gave you a word and it bore witness with your heart and you were like, oh yes, that's for me. I hope you wrote it down. I hope you treat it as weighty. I hope you look at it and say, yes, this is mine and I'm not letting go of this. Because what happens is, we forget to fight for those things. We forget to be tenacious. And if we aren't, the enemy is right there, because I guarantee you, he heard that prophecy too, and he does not want that thing coming to pass. He doesn't. He is scared out of his mind for you to allow God to really fulfill everything he's called you to. Because if you do that, that means you're stomping on his head. And that's awesome from our perspective, but not from his. So he wants to do everything he can to make sure that you are defeated and that you let go or that you unhook from it or you treat it as, that was a nice word. It hasn't come to pass yet. I guess someday. No, there's a Godward side in these things and there's a manward side to these things. God says, you are healed. You are righteous. This is how I see you. But then it's our job to say, yes, God, this I thank you for. I take hold as mine. We have to accept salvation, right? We have to accept the fact that we've been reconciled to him. And so that is treating God's things as waiting and not ignoring what he's told us. We go back and we revisit our prophecies a lot. And it's all things that God, when he said it to us, it was the ones that we went, yes, that is exactly what's in my heart. And no one could have known that. So we want to make sure we hold on to that. Because you know what? If you think about it, what are you trading it for? Like if you decide, this hasn't come to pass yet. Okay, what are you trading it for? Like you're throwing that away. What are you grasping for? Is there something better I don't know about? That's kind of what God's saying to us. Is there something better out there I didn't know about? So we need to look down the road. What does my life look like? If I put that prophecy aside and I don't have any hope for that because that's what God told me to do, then what do I have in front of me? Do you know? Let's think about it. I think about Naaman. Hopefully all of us know that story about Naaman. He was not from Israel. He was from a neighboring country. But he had leprosy. And one of the little girls' moms worked for Naaman. And she heard of Elisha. And she knew they were from Israel. And so they knew of Elisha. And he was an awesome prophet of God. And they knew that God worked healing power through him. And so she told the wife of Naaman, hey, you should take him to Elisha. So he went. And when he went to Elisha, he said, you know, this is what's going on. Well, Elisha didn't come to meet him. He sent out his servant. Well, Naaman was an important man. You didn't even come out and see me? So now he's already ticked, that prophet. He didn't even have the time or the decency to see me. I'm a great man of honor. What do you have to tell me? So then the servant, Elisha's servant, tells him, go into the river Jordan and dip 7 times and you'll be cured of your leprosy. And Naaman is ticked. The servant goes back in. He goes, I'm not doing that. That's stupid. I'm not doing that. I got cleaner rivers at home. I can go dip in those rivers and I'll probably be cleaned if that's all I have to do. I thought he was going to come out here and heal me. He told me to go do something. Thank God for his servants. His servants came to him and said, hey, listen, what are you going to trade it for? They didn't say it quite like this. This is working into my sermon. But the fact is they were like, hey, what's it to you? If he'd asked you to go do some hard feat, you would have been like, yeah, I can do it. I'm a man. And he would have. But he said he gave you something so simple, and yet you're like, not going to do that. That's gross. I'm not getting in that water. I'm going to go home. They're like, what are you going to trade it for? Really? You got leprosy behind door number one, and you got a dirty river behind door number two. What are you going to choose? He thought about it for a minute, and he decided, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do it. He almost ignored what God said. He almost ignored it. And what would have happened? He would have lost out on his healing, right? He would have died of leprosy, which is a horrible death. But he didn't ignore it, and he got healed. You know who did ignore in that scenario? Naaman came back after he was healed. All his spots went away. He was jazzed, man. He came back. He's like, hey, I've got all this stuff. I've got silver. I've got all these gifts. Let me give those to you, Elisha. And Elisha said, no, I'm not taking that from you. God did this work in your life. I'm not taking that from you. Whatever other reasoning is behind it doesn't matter. The fact is, Elisha's servant, he heard what Elisha said. Now, he's been with Elisha. He has seen everything Elisha has said has come to pass, right? But he treated what Elisha said lightly. And he snuck out and he went after Naaman. Hey, Naaman, he changed his mind. Can I have it? I'll take it back. Just a little silver, couple sets of clothes. Those are really nice. Can I have it? He changed his mind. Sure, yes, of course. So he gives him the stuff, right? So the servant goes back. He takes it. He puts it, hides it away in the house. And Elisha comes to him and says, where were you? Me? I didn't go anywhere. Did he ignore what Elisha had said? Now he's lying about it. He's hiding stuff. I'd say that's pretty dishonoring. And next thing you know, Gehazi has leprosy and he dies of it. Why? Because he dishonored the things of God and the person who was representing God. That's pretty heavy. Another one is interrupting. This is our second one. Interrupting. That's an easy one for us to, I think, see across the board. We're in grocery store lines. Everybody's busy. We all have cell phones. We're like in the technology age of interruption. You get interrupted all the time, right? You get a text. You get a call. You get a notice from Facebook. You whatever, right? And so we live in an era where interruption is it's the new norm, right? But we don't want it to be like that when it comes to the things of God or people of God. And if we're going to treat it as weighty, then let's find out what that is. So Proverbs 18:13 says, listen before you answer. If you don't, you're being stupid and insulting. That's kind of heavy. Don't interrupt. Don't interrupt. You know, think about it. This is completely hypothetical. Say your boss calls you into the office and he's actually going to give you a raise, but you don't know that. And he starts to say something, but you jump in with new information and you just blah, 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 rattle it all off. And then they look at you and they go, okay, I'll deal with that. See you later. You have no idea. You just lost that raise that you were going to get. Why? Because of your mouth. Don't shoot your mouth off. My parents, they taught me something really important. You know, I grew up in a pastor's home. We had the privilege of having evangelists and teachers and missionaries come to our church, and they'd always come to our house to eat. Sometimes they'd stay with us. And so we learned really little that you sit and you listen because this person has something to say. Not just the fact that I was a child, because I was in my parents' house till I was 18. So, but it was all throughout. We learned to listen to people. And if they said something incorrect or they said something that we questioned, you know, if there was an opportunity we could ask. But otherwise, my dad, he would go back and correct it if it was incorrect. But he taught us this watermelon analogy. He said, look, you honor people by listening to them. And if not every, like, and this goes with visiting churches or being in conferences, if something is said and you're listening and listening, and then they say something, you're like, huh, never heard that before. I want to know where they got that, or how is it they saw that in the Word, or whatever. You just take those seeds and you can set them aside. You can spit them out and you eat the watermelons. You eat what's good, you spit out the seeds. Some watermelons have more seeds than others. Let's see. I heard one of my instructors from Bible college, he went around a lot with the head of the Bible college. And he said there were times where the head of our Bible college, he would be at a conference or he would go to someone's church to minister for them. And he'd have just a few minutes before the message. And he would be able to sit down and talk with this individual, and he'd be sitting there and the person would just run their mouth. Yakety, yakety, yak. And my instructor said, I could see it all over his face. He had something to say. And usually when he didn't waste his words, so when he had something to say, it was usually from the Spirit of God or wisdom that he had from the Word that would have helped that person. But literally the person never shut up. So after a few minutes, 20 minutes or whatever time was allotted for them to meet, he would stand up and say, well, that was so nice to meet you. Take their hand and leave. And I would venture to say they completely missed out on something that could have been transforming for them. Something that would have been an answer they'd been seeking. All because they couldn't stop talking. And he would not interrupt. It wasn't like him to interrupt. I would say this. If anybody had right to interrupt us, wouldn't you say that'd be God? God has every right to interrupt our thinking, interrupt where we're headed, interrupt, but he doesn't. He says he says to wait on him, to listen for him. And I know we've said here before, you know, God's always speaking and he is always willing to speak, but he's not just flapping his jaws for no one to hear. He is waiting for us to respect him, sit down, listen to him. And if we've given him permission to speak to us and to interrupt us, he will. But he's not going to do that without being asked or allowed in. Like last week, we prayed together, Holy Spirit, teach me about honor. Teach me who I'm supposed to honor, how I'm supposed to honor. Interrupt me if I'm being disrespectful, right? Yes, because we want what he has, and he knows way better than we do. Way better than we do. I don't know if you know this about Pastor Dan, if you've been around any time at all. He is a big one not to interrupt. He, at our family gatherings, now there's a time to everybody be talking together. There's a time where that doesn't wash so well, right? So in my family, when we're just having, you know, dinner or whatever, everybody's kind of talking, having conversations over the other person. We're not trying to be disrespectful. Everybody's engaged. Everybody's listening to everyone else, and we're just going at it, and that's just how we are. We're loud. And it's acceptable in that scenario. Well, not where he comes from. Where he comes from, you wait for the person to finish their sentence, there's a little pause, and then he talks. And so I remember when we were first married, I was thinking, oh my gosh, Dan, you got to jump in here. You had good things to say. He's like, I'm not going to do that. Well, my family's learned now about him, and they'll give him an opportunity to talk. They give him a little segue. You got something, Dan? And he'll speak up. But if you notice, even when he's talking with you guys, or with someone who comes as a visitor, he's standing there and he's listening to them. He'll listen. And he's listening to the person, but he's also doing what he's doing right now with that face. And he's asking Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say in this situation? He is not going to interrupt that person unless it's needful, you know, like correction or something like that. But he's going to be listening to Holy Spirit. He's listening to the person and he wants to know, Holy Spirit, he honors the Holy Spirit. What do you have to say about this? And if the person will stop and listen, he has something to say. If we're out to eat with a couple or, you know, however it works, I'll see his face sometimes and I'll try to find like a nice little segue. And Dan, what do you have to say about this? Because he will not jump in. And then the moment will pass and we will have all missed that nugget of truth. Because usually when he talks, it's usually pretty important. Not always, but mostly. I'll tell you a way that I learned. I learned this very early in our marriage. So I'll tell on myself. I seem like I was telling on myself last week and this week. Oh, thank you, sir. Woohoo. But early on in our marriage, like literally I think we'd been married a month, maybe 2 months, and I had a waterbed. I was like, I'm not getting rid of my waterbed. I've had this since I was 11 years old. I'm not getting rid of that. And so you used to have this blue stuff, kind of what you put in your pool, but it's so no algae or anything will grow in your waterbed was out of it. And I'm like, we need to go get some. So we went to the waterbed store, and I'm trying to be respectful of my husband, and he's talking with the salesperson, and there's two sizes of this stuff. There's one size that's a little bottled, like 2 ounces, which is all you need for one application. Or they've got the large bottle that's like 5 applications. And this one was a better deal. It was like $8 for the little one and $20 for the big one. I was like, hello, it's the big one. So I'm trying to be quiet, but my husband, he's a thinker. And at that point, he was really a thinker. And so the gentleman said, we have this size, this size, this price. Which one would you like? It was silence. And at that point, silence made me very nervous. I was like, and I'm thinking to myself, well, what is the big deal? That one is obviously the better deal. Why don't you just say, we'll take the big one? But he didn't. He's like thinking and thinking. I'm like, do you need a calculator? Like, I'm thinking this in my head. I'm not saying anything. Finally, I couldn't take it anymore. I looked at the salesman and I'm like, we'll take the big one. Thanks. So my husband, bless his heart, didn't interrupt me, and he did not say anything to me at all until we got in the car. And then he very politely said, don't ever do that again. I said, what did I do? So we had a little argument, and he was right. I disrespected him. I should have let him answer. I should not have been so quick to answer or to usurp his authority, and that was not honoring to him in that situation. So, but he didn't interrupt me. He let me do my thing, and then we talked about it later. So there's this little story about me and how Johnny on the spot I always wanted to be. It's working great now. 27 years later, I'd say we've made it quite a ways. But listening, God is like that. He will not interrupt. He wants us to wait on him and listen to what he has to say. Let people finish speaking. Let people finish speaking. In who are people? Our spouse, is that a people? Our children, is that a people? Our coworkers, that's a people, right? We want to let people finish speaking. James 1:9 says this. And I'll break it down like this. It says, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's how we want to be. Can we say that together? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I like what the Amplified says. It says, quick to hear, a ready listener. Be a ready listener. People like that. People like that. And it shows them respect when you do that. Ask questions. Listen to the responses. I don't know how many times, probably with my children all the time, I would run into the middle of a situation thinking one thing was happening and actually something else was happening. I should probably ask questions and find out what's actually happening. And that would save some wrong assessments on our part. But that can happen with coworkers. That can happen with a person in leadership. If you don't know what's going on, before we think we have the correct answer, let's not just jump in and rush to judgment. Let's go ahead and ask some questions and let them respond. I like this. You and I are what we've become. We are not what we have to be. I've heard so many people say, well, this is just how I am. I've been like this forever. No, that's actually a lie. You weren't born that way. You've become that way, but you don't have to stay that way. And if you want to change, and you think it's too hard, We have someone named the Holy Spirit, and he is awesome at helping. He's awesome at walking us through slowly with just little bits enough that we can handle to walk us through growing up and changing. And he is trustworthy. We are allowed to let him in and let him change us. If we want different, we've got to be able to change and allow him to help us. All right. What time is it? 12. I will introduce these next two. I don't know how much we'll get through. But intruding and interfering, these are two ways of disrespecting people. And they kind of bleed together, so that's why I'm telling you about both of them at the same time. But intruding means to push in or thrust in without invitation or welcome. And in Proverbs 25:6-7, it says, don't take the best seat in the house. It's a little story about somebody who goes to like a nobleman's house. And he goes, or the king's house, and he sits in the best seat, and then he's asked to move. It's a little embarrassing. Let's not do that. We don't want to do that. I remember my parents, again, they were a good source of information, so that's why I'm sharing some stories. But from really little, they taught me that, you know, if I needed them for something, we're at church or whatever, and they're talking with someone, if it looks like it's not super serious, you're allowed to come up. And you can make your presence known. You can touch my leg. You can touch my arm. You can let me know that you're there. And then you wait. And it doesn't matter how long you wait. But you're not going to intrude because this is my time with these people. So if it's really important, you stay right there. If it's not important, don't come over to me. Don't intrude. So, but they would address me after that. I was thinking about Moses and the burning bush. And he was like, whoa, how did that happen? So he was kind of rushing up on it, like, what's going on? And what did God tell him? Wait, hey, take your shoes off. This is holy ground. Don't intrude, right? So he took his shoes off, and then he proceeded to come forward to hear what God had to say to him. I think of Peter. You know, we hear a lot of times about interfering. First of all, they intrude, and then they stay to interfere. Yeah, ever met anyone like that? Peter, bless his little uncouth heart, he went on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. Now, this was like some important stuff for Jesus to be involved in, right? And Peter's like, hey, this is cool. Let's build some tabernacles, one for you, one for you, one for you. Hey, you're interfering. This has nothing to do with that. He interfered. He intruded where he was invited to come. He stayed and interfered. He should have just kept his mouth shut. He learned after a while. Proverbs 20, verse 3, it says, it's an honor for a man to cease from strife, but a fool rushes in to meddle. Be meddling in people's business. I liked this one. Proverbs 26:17 says, like one who seizes a dog's ears is one who passes by and meddles in a quarrel that is not his own. Now, that's quite a picture. This dog is a Rottweiler, okay? He's not your neighbor's dog. He's not your dog. And you grab him by the ears. What do you think is going to happen? You're going to get bit. You're going to be in some trouble. So do not mess in people's quarrels. If they're going at it about something, leave it alone, right? Leave it alone. I'll get to that in a second. Anybody can be quick to shoot their mouth off, but to hold your tongue's a bit harder. Pride is usually a very big motivator in something like this. I know better. I've done that. I've heard that. I've experienced that. I read something about that. Is it okay to share if you're invited in? Yes. But if you're just sticking your nose where it doesn't belong, your wisdom is not wanted. And you probably should stay back. because the fact is, who are you? Did anybody ask you? Did anybody invite you in? 2 Chronicles 35. I wanted to just look at this really quick. This is about King Josiah. You remember hearing about him? He was a really young king. And he did a lot of great things that were after the heart of God. And he was feeling really good. He was a giver. He gave a lot out of his own storehouse. He had given some great instructions recently. And he was a good example for the people. And he'd been feeling really good about the things going on in his kingdom. And this King Necho, he was from Egypt. And he had come out to go to battle to fight someone else. And so Josiah went out there and he was opposing. He came out to oppose King Necho. And Necho addressed him and he said, "What are you doing? Why are you opposing me?" This is in verse 21. "Why are you opposing me, O king of Judah? I'm not attacking you today, but the kingdom which I am at war with. God told me to hurry, so stop opposing God who's with me, or else he'll destroy you." So Josiah, he's feeling great. "I'm a good king. I'm going out. They shouldn't be doing that. I'm going to make a call on that." How does he know what God called that king to do? Who knew that an Egyptian king could hear the Lord? I didn't, but this is what he said. "God's with me, not with you. So what are you doing opposing me?" But Josiah decided he knew better. And like I said, he was a good king. God had called him to be king. So he had this little discussion with King Necho, and he decided, what does he know? So he went and he donned himself a disguise, and he decided, "I'm going out after him anyway." And so he does. And in verse right down here, he says he went out, he took on a disguise, and he ended up in his chariot. Some archers shot a spear and mortally wounded him. He ended up going back to his kingdom and dying. What could he have done for the kingdom of God? And what else could we have read about King Josiah? Yet he interfered into a place where he had no business because he thought he knew better. And he got himself killed. His plan, the plans and purposes of God were cut short in his life, all because he stuck his nose where it didn't belong. So I don't want to go too much longer because I have plenty of notes to keep us going for a while. And there's so much here. So I'll just leave this for another day. But so far we've talked about ignoring, intruding, and interfering. And interrupting, didn't we? We did talk about interrupting. So ignoring, interrupting, intruding, and interfering. And when we come back together, I'll have more things to talk about. But this is the time where I want us to think about how awesome God is. He is so faithful to show us what not to do so that we know what to do. And just by not doing what is disrespect, in turn, we are respecting. We are showing honor. And I just think that God is so awesome in taking his time to honor us with his presence, to honor us with his word. These things have been stirring in my heart for a long time, and I pray that you got something out of them today, because this is not just, whatever. If God pointed anything out to you today, take it as weighty. Take it as, "Holy Spirit, you're trying to get me to another level in you." It could have been something very minor. It could have to do with something that anybody else might think is minor. But he's stirring on something on the inside of you. Take that. Say, "Thank you, God." Because, you know, we could have a God that's removed from us. We could have a God that just kind of, you know, there was a song about that once. "Watch from afar. He watches us from afar." No, he doesn't. Not my God. He watches me right here. He's in me and I'm in him. Amen. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for your presence that has been here and in us and with us today. Lord, I thank you for the words of wisdom that you have spoken to these hearts today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will take the things that have been spoken. And even on this recording, Father, take those things and divvy them out as you will. Create that spot and touch those people's hearts right where they need to be touched. I pray that you would continue to teach us about honor. Continue to teach us what respect looks like. So that as we respect in the little things and as we respect and honor those people in front of us, we can honor and respect you even more. And because of that, you said you would honor us more. If we honor you more, you will honor us more, which will enable us to do so much more. And we just thank you for your presence to go with us as we go out this week to be a blessing to those around us. We speak life and health and healing on this whole congregation and all those listening in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go and be blessed. Be a blessing this week. And practice what you heard and what you learned. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.